the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Mango. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at www.trythemango.com. I have a blog, a podcast, and I'm also a coach. Check me out. So, wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting in your run today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on, then. Let's go for a run.
Hey, so I'm out in the woods. This is Chris. Not running. Don't have the dog with me. I'm out riding. I like these trails. I found these new trails over behind the Apple Orchard, and they're good bike trails. A little technical. It's been raining so much that it's really dangerous to ride. All the rocks and everything are so slippery. And I'm not really, I don't really have a lot of strength tonight because the big news is I did a nasty crash yesterday. I went out for just an easy 3.5 hour ride, but I was listening to Dirt Dog talk to Finkelstein, and I'm thinking about my race coming up and saying, well, you know, I got my base in, now I got to push it a little bit. And so I was doing a really tough trail, and I got off the trail and into the rocks, and I got launched and landed upside down on my head in the rocks. But so I smashed my shoulder, my right quad. I think I broke a rib on the bottom. I think it's just from compression, just from being crumpled upside down. But so I'm out today just riding easy, seeing if I can work out some of the kinks. Kind of feel like I've been in a car crash. You know, you never actually remember the crash itself. You ever notice that? Like, it's just like flashes, right? You remember right before, and you remember getting up after, but you never remember the actual crash part. Oh, I remember being upside down, though. I do remember that, because that was before I hit the ground. Once I hit the ground, though, I got up, I was like, oh, man, I'm really hurt. It's one of those, oh, God, hope I'm not dead sort of thing. So anyhow, I'm out riding tonight. So that was good, though. I got that out of the way. I got my first real crash out of the way. It didn't hurt my bike. The cone is holding up pretty well, because all my other crashes before had just been sort of like falling over because I don't have any balance and little stuff like that. Going slow, you know, slow speed crashes. I haven't had a good high speed crash yet. And so I'm a little scared tonight, a little scared riding, because if I hit the ground again tonight, it's going to really hurt. So as a result, I'm going too slow, which makes me more likely to crash, but I think I'll be okay. My legs are coming around. I got to do a couple more real long hill climbs with Anthony and then work on some strategy. I think I got 100 miles. Should take me, I don't know, I'd like to break 12 hours. I think I got the conditioning, you know, I can go that long. And biking is weird because you can come back a lot faster than running. It's if you bike hard and rest a little bit, you can bike hard again. I mean, I haven't got to the point where I've just totally lost it like you do sometimes running, but we'll see. So anyhow, I'll talk to you again. I want to tell you some animal stories. I had some great animal stories. It's been a turkey week for me. I'll tell you about it. Hey there, and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast. This is Chris, your host, and this would be episode 76. Hear that bird in the background? I don't know what kind of bird that is. That's Buddy splashing through the water. I'm down in the Boy Scout bird shown by the brook. Brook's nice and full because it's been raining, getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. Actually, it's a little cold tonight. It's like 65. You know, tomorrow's the first day of July, and it's like 65 degrees and foggy out. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? So all you folks who have to pay your mortgage this week, get on that. So today I'm going to interview a great guy. I got a great interview for you. It's Dan Ashworth of Ashworth Metals. And if you've ever, just never mind all that splashing, that's the border collie having fun. digging a hole in the water. Oh, now he's coming to share the water with me. That's nice. Nice of you. Yeah, nice dog. So Dan is, I have a lot of respect for Dan because he owns a business in Massachusetts, a manufacturing business in Massachusetts, which is fairly unheard of. And he makes all the medals. He makes the medals for Boston Marathon. He always has. And all the Ironman and his company. And it's grown probably sixfold over the last decade. And it's doing very well. And he's a great guy. Good business sense. Gives back to the community. So I hope you enjoy that. You know, I'm sitting here. I'm running today. And it's all wet because it's been raining forever. And, you know, the trails have this sort of slick patina like a frat room floor on a Saturday night. And all the rocks are kind of slimy and the logs are kind of slimy. And it reminds me of a question that somebody sent me. Somebody said, you know, I was talking about the Vibrant Souls. Oh, by the way, we're going to have the shoe contest today. We're going to announce the winners. So hang in for that. But they asked me, you know, what do you do when you're running and it's really cold out? What do you look for differently? Well, what I usually do is I look for some trail shoes with a fairly soft outsole, something soft or something stickier, a stickier rubber. Now, you can run with those in the winter and they'll have a better grip. Now, nothing's going to give you grip on the ice, except Yak Tracks or some of those things. But if you get a softer shoe, it's not going to be hard like a rock when you're running. And it also, that softer shoe, that stickier sole with the bigger lugs, will help you when it's real slippery like this, too. It'll help traction. He's nuts. He just came galloping down the stream with a stick in his mouth. Nice to see a guy your age can have so much fun, dog. You want to go? All right. So anyhow, yeah, look for those sticky soles and a nice wide sole and good-sized lugs for the slippery stuff, the yucky stuff, all right? And on with the show.
And now for our featured interview.
Dan Ashworth, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You know, I'm sitting here in my office. I'm looking at my wall. I got my my Boston Marathon quilt that my mother made for me.
Excellent.
And I have a whole bunch of medals hanging here. A few dozen medals. A bunch of those unicorn medals.
Yes.
And some other ones that I believe came from your factory. So, Ashworth Awards.
I'm sure a lot of them have.
So tell us who you are and what you do and in a few hundred words or less.
My name is Dan Ashworth. I own a company called Ashworth Awards in Massachusetts, and we're a manufacturer of medallions and awards, primarily in the sporting markets, running, triathlons, figure skating, and we do a lot of the premier events in the country and the world. We do the Boston Marathon medallions, we do the Ironman medallions, and we're also the official manufacturer for U.S. figure skating.
And you do the Disney, too, right?
Yep, we do Disney, we do Twin Cities. I mean, we do a lot of major races.
Right. So chances are, if you got a medal, it might have come from Ashworth.
There's a very good chance.
Right. And we were talking before, and you do an enormous amount of, I think I remember you said you did 800 events a year, something like that?
About 800 events. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're
we manufacture between 125 to 150,000 medals a month.
Right. And that's just amazing. And you guys have grown and been very successful over the last few years, sort of in concordance with the running boom itself, right?
Exactly. The running boom and the triathlon boom. In the last couple of years, we've just seen a tremendous growth in the market.
So talk about that a little bit. What, you know, you've been doing this for a few years. What changes have you seen in the sport?
I've seen it taken a little more seriously in the sport in the last couple of years. It's still a sport of running, and it's still recreation, but the people that are putting on the events are realizing that it is a business and they have to step it up if they want to retain their customer base. And a big part of stepping it up is handing out a nice medallion at the end of the race.
Yep. And
that's typically the last piece of an event. You know, you cross the finish line, you get your medallion, you go on your merry way, you go home, and if you give, you know, the participant a medal that's not of quality, it falls off the ribbon, that they're not going to value that medal, chances are they're not going to come back to your event the following year, and chances are they're not going to recommend their friends to run it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the medallion's a huge part of actually your next year's marketing.
Right, and there's such an emotional tie to the medal for people.
Exactly.
You know, something like a marathon that, you know, if you're giving away a cheap medal, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing your brand a disservice.
Exactly.
You know, the medal and the T-shirt, I find the same thing's true with cheap T-shirts, you know? Nothing makes people more mad than getting a cheap T-shirt out of an event.
Right.
You know?
Because, they it's not only the money that they invest in the race, it's the time and the commitment they invest in the training.
I mean, right.
That's the reward. Most people aren't racing to win the purse. They're racing for themselves, and their payday is the medallion and the T-shirt.
Right, and we were talking before, you're actually seeing people doing 5Ks and smaller events and diverse events that are giving out medals.
Definitely. I mean, if you're charging an admission, you should be giving out a medal as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I just think it's just such a huge part of any event.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, people want a token. It doesn't have to be a huge medal. It just has to be a token of, you know, your accomplishment.
Right.
The marathoners have to start somewhere, and they're going to start with a 5K. And if, you know, if they don't feel some sort of accomplishment running the 5K, what's going to make them run the 10K and then the half marathon, then the full marathon?
Right.
You know, progression.
So what you're saying is that's part of the sort of the conditioning, the reward conditioning that leads people to continue in the sport because they're getting a little prize along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think we were talking about the new BAA race was a 5K, right? And the full, is that what I remember us talking
about? Yeah, they
had
the new 5K this year.
All right. And you guys designed a special medal for that?
We designed a fantastic medal. What they did was they gave us the very first Boston Marathon medal from 113 years ago.
Right, 18.
And they only have one, there's only one in existence, and they said we wanted to kind of replicate the beginning of the Boston Marathon. So they gave us the medal, and we, our toolmen duplicated it basically. A little bit larger than the original one, but the same shape, which was a very bizarre shape because it was handmade way back then.
Right.
And just the detailing and just the way it was made. And we basically replicated the beginning of the BAA with the 5K.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I noticed this year my Boston Marathon medal's bigger, too. Why is it bigger this year?
There, yeah, that's, again, the trend. Bigger is better. Bigger and better in color. I mean, the races are all putting color in their medals now. They're budgeting more money for their medals so they can, give the medal that the participant wants.
Hmm.
But Boston is the only race that makes their medal out of solid fine pewter.
So talk a little bit to me about how a medal is made and what the... You know, what goes into it and the considerations and that sort of thing.
Well, it all starts with, you know, the design phase, whether it be the race logo or, you know, our graphics department can create a design for you as well. You know, it just starts with, you know, how well the race logo is going to turn into a medallion. I mean, some logos look great on a T-shirt, but you're also working with a large surface.
Right.
You kind of condense that logo down into a 2-inch, 2.5-inch medal. Sometimes it doesn't work. We have to tweak it a little bit. That's where it starts, and then we just, you know, the customer has to decide whether they want. Our company is unique in the fact that we have our own manufacturing facility in Massachusetts, but we also have one overseas.
Right.
So there's two different price points. Domestic is a little bit more money, but they're getting a product made in the USA. Import from our facility overseas, you know, they're going to get same quality metal. It's just going to have a little bit less of a price point and a little bit longer of a delivery time.
Right.
So they decide which way they want to go, and we go into manufacturing, and, you know, there's different neck ribbons. We have, you know, many different colors or custom neck ribbons. There's just so many variables. That's why we work closely with the race director or whoever's in charge of the medallions to develop the program, because it just doesn't happen. You know, it all starts with the design. We email artwork back and forth until they approve it.
Sure.
And then, you know, 99% of all the medallions we manufacture are cast, whether it's cast in pewter, like Boston is the only one that uses solid fine pewter. But we have a couple of different types of pewter. Or we have developed our own alloy called amyloy, which is a zinc-based alloy. It's extremely hard, and it finishes really, really nice for a metal.
Yeah, and I noticed that a lot of the metals now are getting real complex. They got either multiple pieces to them, or they got, you know, things spinning around inside them and stuff like that.
That's
is that a
creation.
Trend, too?
The spinner is actually one of our creations from, I don't know, about 10 years ago we started doing that, and then everyone followed suit. It's just unique, something different. I mean, they are more expensive, the tool, because now you're dealing with multiple tools that go into one piece. Then we also do some multiple piece metals for like the Wild Rover series that was up in, I think it was Lowell.
Yeah, the pub race. So there's three pub races in the spring, and you get three medals, but they all fit together into one super medal.
Right, they all fit into one big clatter.
Right.
And it's a really unique program, which drives participation because everyone wants the final medal.
Right.
So they have to race every event to get the final medal, and if you miss one, it's just not going to work.
Right.
So it really drives participation, and that series is very successful, and a big part of it is the medal.
Sure. Dave Kamir, I've talked to him on this show as well.
Okay.
The other question, I seem to remember you guys did something special for Disney, too, something with the ears or something. There was some technology breakthrough.
Back when Disney was first doing their marathon, we had done their, we just did a basic round medal for them for the first 3 years, I think, that we were doing the marathon medals for them. And then, I don't know, I just had a brainstorm one day, and I had my graphics team put the ears on the medal. So it was the round, basically still the same round medal, but with Mickey's ears on it, and they just loved it. And it still sticks today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so iconic and so perfect for their brand. So, I mean, and that's really what you're talking about is your designers, with the capability that you guys have, you can create something that is unique to the brand that the people are trying to sell or that race they're trying to create.
Right. We work closely with them because we understand that side of the race. We don't sell generic medals because that's not our business. We help races develop programs and medallion and award programs that work for their race that are branded specific for their event.
Right.
You know, all the way from not just the medallions, but the age group awards, the acrylics, the crystals, the tiles. You know, we do all sorts of awards as well.
Right. So did you talk to Kamir about doing his bricks for him?
Yes, actually, he's sending me a brick to try in one of our new machines that we just got in.
We're going to test out the brick.
We are going to test out the brick.
Just to, Dan was saying he has a new machine that can print on almost anything, and I said, can it print on a brick? Because one of the races we do up here is a relay race where the awards are brick. And I know what they usually do is they sort of rivet a plate onto them, and the plate always falls off, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, so we're going to actually try printing on the brick. And it should work.
Yeah.
Because one of the unique things about this new machine that we purchased, it prints white. Printers don't print white typically.
Yeah.
But this printer prints white, so we can put down a white base and then print on that.
That's cool.
So I think it'll work.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, I mean,
the other thing that you guys are doing now is you're taking some strides to be sort of a more green, lower impact company with some of the stuff you do.
Yeah, we have green program in place, which we've had in place for quite a long time. With customers are able to return their unused metals, and we recycle. We either recycle the material in house and reuse it in other metals, or we have it refined, and then it's turned back into material that we can reuse, which, you know, so there's no, you know, they're not being thrown into the landfill. The customer's getting a little bit of value back for what their investment was. It's not the full value because, you know, a lot of the cost is in the labor.
Right.
We also develop bamboo neck ribbons.
Right.
Which are 100% eco-friendly, and they're dyed with about totally natural dyes. So they're, you know, it's just a nice added green feature that people are able to buy.
Right. Everybody wants to hear about that these days. What's something that people wouldn't know about the process and the metals? You know, what's something that would surprise people?
The amount of time it actually takes to manufacture a medallion.
Okay.
And how many processes there are. Because every step is done by hand, whether it be the casting, the finishing, the polishing, the plating, the color fill. It's all done one by one by one by hand. Nothing is done the machine doesn't start and the metal come out done.
Right.
It's all done hand. It's all handmade.
So it's like a production line where each thing has to be done on all 26,000 Boston Marathon medals.
Exactly. Each one's cast by hand. Each one's cleaned by hand, which when you cast it, you get a little fine gate on the edge. It has to be taken off. Each one's finished by hand. The color's inlaid by hand. And if there's more than one color, you can only do one color at a time because you need a drying time between colors.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lengthy process. That's why deliveries can take, you know, sometimes up to 8 to 12 weeks because there are so many steps involved.
Right. Hmm.
So I wish I could develop a machine that would turn on one side and the metal would come out the other side, but that's not the case.
Yeah, that's probably what people think. There's a big machine stamping these things out, but they're not stamped, they're cast.
They're cast, and they're one by one by one.
You have to design the mold and manufacture the mold and the dyes,
right?
And then go into production on it.
Exactly. So there could be up to 12 steps per metal, and each step takes time. So yeah, I mean it's a unique process. It's not all done in one big machine.
So what's
but you know we're lucky. You know our manufacturing plant in Massachusetts, if a customer really needs metals in a quick turn, we are able to do that because we own our own manufacturing facility.
Right. You don't have to put it on a boat from Asia.
Exactly. You got it.
And if they're in the West Coast, you have a distribution center in the West Coast as well, right?
In L.A., correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. You guys are growing gangbusters.
We are. We're going after the European market next.
Oh, yeah? All right. So what's the difference about the European market? Do they have metals as well?
Yeah, it's very big. It's actually a very, very big market. It's just, I know there's a couple of competitors that are over there, but I don't think they, well, I wouldn't say I don't think. I think we can probably do one thing better. You know, with shipping now, with FedEx and UPS so streamlined, it's very easy to work over there now.
Yeah.
So actually that's one of our big goals for 2010 is to land some of the larger European races.
Do you do any of the belt buckles for the ultras?
We do belt buckles as well for some of the ultra races, correct?
In
the
yeah.
Long endurance runs.
Well, that's great.
We do a medal for a race out in Green Bay called the Fall 50 that's on this huge chain. It's just a really different medal.
Like a metal chain?
A huge metal chain.
Oh, that's interesting. So what are some examples of your favorite medals application?
Boston, without a doubt, is my favorite event because, you know, that's how we really get started in the running industry.
Sure. I remember seeing an article about you guys in the Globe a couple years back, right?
Yeah. With
the Boston Marathon stuff.
Yeah, a few years back, Channel 5 did a big story on us a few years back about how it all started. And you know, that's when Boston started the whole medal craze because in 1983, they started giving out finishers medals, and it took off from there. Because when Boston does it, everyone else has to follow suit.
Right.
So, yep. You know, Twin Cities, every year we do a really unique medal for them. Every year it's different, something a little different, you know, whether the way the ribbon's attached or the design or just, it's always something different with them. They have our creative and their creative people get together and hammer out some really unique medals every year. Ironman stuff we do is amazing for all the Ironmans in the U.S. Each medal's unique to its location, whether it be Lake Placid or Louisville. Louisville's a big, it's a big horseshoe.
Yeah.
Because of its location. Yeah, it's just, you know, each race is unique in its own. And they're all fun to do because each one's different. But, you know, I would say Boston is definitely by far my favorite event to work with, though.
What about that one you were talking about with the wine coaster?
The marathon, Santa Barbara Half Marathon, that whole wine country series. He does a set of coasters every year. Yeah, each race is a coaster. Each medal is a coaster.
Yeah.
So if you do all three or four races, you have a set of coasters. And then if you do all three or four races, we're developing a program right now, so each medal is going to be made into a tiny wine charm.
Yep.
For like a wine glass. So
yep.
Now, if you do all four events, you'll get the wine charm set as a token.
Right. And by coaster, it's a medal with like a cork inlay.
It's a medal with a cork inlay.
Yeah.
And the cork itself is decorated with the race logo.
Yeah. So what's the biggest medal anybody does? Is there anybody out there making the platters? You know, the 12-inch wide, 8-pound medal?
I know Little Rock does a very, very large medal, and hopefully we'll be doing that for them this year. They do the large medal in the industry.
Yeah, because it's how big is that?
It's like 8 inches or 9 inches.
Because at some point, it's the cost of material is going to be a lot.
Exactly. They are paying a lot for the medal.
Yeah.
But they're also getting a premium for their entry fee because people are racing this race to get this huge medal. So the medal's paying for itself.
So, you know, where's it going to stop, Dad? You know, pretty soon we're going to have, like, snow shovels hung around our neck.
Well, the machinery can only accommodate certain sizes, though.
Yeah.
At some point, it has to stop.
Yeah.
I think about 9 inches is as large as you can get.
Well, that's interesting. It's like, you look like a rapper wearing that thing with the huge chain.
Exactly.
So,
and it probably weighs 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So
what's your best story after doing this for so many years?
Oh, there's so many stories. I've met so many people in this industry along the way, you know, developed great friendships with a lot of people, you know, Bart Yasso and Dave McGilvery.
Sure.
Over the years. But, I don't know, I ran my first marathon this year.
Yeah, and that would be the Boston Marathon.
I ran the Boston Marathon. Dave McGilvery gave me an invitational entry for my 40th birthday.
Good for you.
So I ran the marathon, and I finished. It was hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Those last 6 miles.
Now I know what... Huh?
Those last 6 miles.
Actually, the last 6 miles were easier.
Yeah?
Mile 14 to 16, I started to get dehydrated, and it was brutal. And about mile 20, I kind of snapped out of it, and I finished okay. But I finished. So I'm going to give it a shot again.
You're going to go back, try to qualify now?
I don't think I'm ever going to be fast enough to qualify. I just don't think so. You know, my wife's a marathoner, and she's qualified. So we have one qualification in the family. I think that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure after all the hundreds of thousands of medals you've delivered for McGilvery and probably Mr. Fleming, right? They can spot you an entry or two.
Yeah. My wife won't run it again without qualifying, though. So.
Yeah. So you guys, you and your wife, you also a race in North Attleboro, right?
Yeah, we put on our own 5K. It's called the Ashworth Awards Kids Day 5K.
Yep.
And you should see the awards that we give out.
Yeah? What's special about those?
It's probably the nicest 5K medal that any 5K gives out. But it's our brand, so again,
right.
It goes back to branding.
So what's it look like?
It's in the shape of a Maltese cross because the race is in conjunction with a Kids Day, the Firefighters Kids Day Carnival that our town puts on.
Yeah.
So it's a 4-day, you know, they have rides and they have
like a festival.
Entertainment. Yeah, it's like a festival. And then on the Sunday of that weekend, we put on the road race on Sunday morning, which is just another avenue to raise money for the town of North Attleboro. And we donate all the medallions, you know, our time, the T-shirts, the numbers. It's all funded by us. And all children can race for free. And then the adults have to pay a small fee for the 5K.
And when is that?
But it's July 12th.
July 12th, all right. So that's coming up.
2009. Yeah, it's coming up. People are interested. They can register online at coolrunning.com.
And what's your websites and contact, you know, that?
Our website's ashworthawards.com.
Okay.
And so my email is dan@ashworthawards.com if anyone would like to get in touch with me.
And get some cool medals. So what do you see 10 years from now? What are we going to be talking about in awards?
I don't know. It's evolving. You know, we're trying to mix it up now, trying to come up with some new creative stuff that I don't think I can talk about yet. but we are developing some new products. So
we've
got a really cool ribbon product coming out that I think is going to be really great, especially in the green field.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think it's going to be a huge hit once we finalize the product development of it.
Well, I think you got a great little company going there, Dan. I'm really happy for you guys being so successful. A native Massachusetts manufacturing company. Don't see a lot of those. Usually they're going in the other direction.
The last few. Exactly.
Yeah, usually they're heading out the door. So
you know, we made the choice, you know, to invest in a facility overseas because that's the only way sometimes we could stay competitive with our competitors. But we still are a manufacturer in the States.
Yep. You and New Balance.
You got it.
Yep.
And we have a lot of control over our facility overseas too. So it's not like we just buy and sell from over there. We have a lot of input how that factory is run and managed. So you know, we got the best of both worlds here, I think.
No, it's good. Congratulations. All right, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for your time.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Keep up the good work, all right?
Okay, thank you. Talk to
you
soon.
All right, thanks, Dan. Bye. Yep.
Bye-bye.
So I got some good animal stories. First one, I was out doing, I did last Thursday night, went did a set of hills on my bike out over at the ski area. I did a, felt great, did a nice set of hills on one of the hills, the ski hills, up and down 10 times. But the first time I went up, there was this huge turkey. I don't even think it was a turkey. I think it was an emu let loose in the wild. The thing was as tall as I am, and I flushed that thing and went running away. It was pretty cool. They live over there. And then yesterday, I was going through that same sort of field in the same place, and I had a whole herd of them, a flock of turkeys. They're out in the fields, and they didn't fly away. They must be, like, in their non-flying mode right now. I was riding down this dirt road, and they were in front of me on the dirt road, and they're so stupid they didn't think to just, like, get off the dirt road. So I chased these turkeys for, like, a quarter mile as they were running down the road in front of me, like, six of them. So it was kind of funny. But the best story, I was out running with Buddy, and remember I told you about that place we cut through where the grass is really, really high? Well, we hadn't been through there in a couple days, and I went running, and I'm running through this real tall grass, and I see something brown in front of me. I go, oh, what the heck is that? I get about a foot from it, and I'm like, oh, that's a dead turkey or something in there, right? Because it wasn't moving. It was, like, all flattened out. Yeah, I don't know. I got the headphones on. I'm just running, right? I'm not thinking about it. I get right up on top of it. Thing goes, like, takes off. And it's a hen. And where she was sitting, there's, you know, 8 or 9 little fuzzballs running around in circles. So it's like, oh, buddy, let's get out of here. We have disturbed a happy home. So that was pretty cool. And then just now, I was in my garden, and there was a little deer in my garden. I didn't see the deer, but he left all kinds of footprints, little hoofy prints in my garden. Didn't eat anything, didn't knock down any plants, just ran up and down every row and jumped out. Because I have a fence around my garden. So he jumped in, ran up and down all the rows, jumped out. So there you go. Those are my animal stories. Pretty cool, huh?
All right, folks, here are the winners for the Trail Shoe Contest. And thanks, a big thank you to the folks at Vibram, for doing this. And you winners, it would be nice if you could send us an audio or a note to let us know how the shoes worked out. Either way, these guys like feedback. Even if you don't like them, give us an audio. I'll give you a quick discussion of our contest methodology. It was overseen by Jimmy Carter, so it's very good. Here's how we chose. I compiled all the entries into a big document, and then I numbered them. And I passed them out to 3 separate people, none of whom were me, and I had them choose their favorites. Then I took the pool of the favorites and put them into a box and randomly selected 5 from that box. So thank you, everyone, for the great entries. These are awesome entries. And I really appreciate the time and effort you put into it. And now that I have your emails, you can expect a constant flow of weight loss and male enhancement emails from me. Just kidding. We'll try to get some more stuff in the future. Drum roll, please. The envelope, please. Announcing the winners of the Patagonia Release Trail Shoe Contest. First one was our friend Adam Ulry, Lone Wolf Runner. Second one was someone named Chandra Leister. Chandra. And she was 23 is her username. And then Lost Falcon, John Inglés. And then our friend Libby from Canada. There you go, Libby. You said you never won anything. There you go.
This moment is so much bigger than me. This moment is for Dorothy Dandridge, Lena Horne, Diane Carroll. It's for the women that stand beside me, Jada Pinkett, Angela Bassett, Vivica Fox, and it's for every nameless, faceless woman of color that now has a chance because this door tonight has been opened.
And also Run for Fun, Samantha Foster. And those are our 5. And congratulations. Aaron from the marketing department has your email and will be reaching out to you. Enjoy. Let us know how it works out. Okay, folks, that's it. Another uncomplicated show this week. Just right for your 40-minute run. No need to waste everybody's time here, all right? So hope everything's going okay with you. Maybe you can hear Buddy barking at somebody in the background. The sun came out today for the first time in feels like 3 years. So I've got to get some seriously long rides in to get ready for the Wilderness 101. So I'm going to go long with Anthony today, maybe. Might end up down at my Cape house in Harwich for this weekend. My plans are in flux, like a flux capacitor. So anyhow, I've been writing a lot for Cool Running, so make sure you check them out at www.coolrunningalloneword.com, and it's part of the Active Network. Everybody knows Active. Next week, I think the timing is right to get a couple of my friends who are marathon coaches on the podcast to talk about the do's and don'ts of your training for fall marathons, because if you're training for Bay State, for example, this weekend is your first long 12 or 13 miler, so therefore, I'm going to get Josh and Justin, better known as Speedy Sasquatch and the Mango Runner, to come on the show and teach us about training for your personal record in the marathon this fall. So that should be fun. I have some feelers out for a couple of things going forward. One interesting contact I made was with Dan Brown, who was in the Olympics, if you remember, and he's the 5K record holder in the United States. Another is an organization called Medals for Metal. It was started by this doctor, maybe you saw him in Runner's World, where they donate used medals to sick kids and people in hospitals. So that's an interesting thing. Another one, I got contacted by the new Warrior Tour, which is a thing that Runner's World is doing, where they're having races and sending Bart Yasso over to Iraq and stuff. So we'll look at that. And I also traded correspondence with those back-on-your-feet people, the people who take homeless and ex-addicts and try to get them back on their feet through running. But, you know, these guys are hard to talk to. They don't seem to understand the concept of what a podcast is. So we'll see if that works out. Also had a really interesting conversation last night with Scott Zagarino from Athletes for a Cure. He's a prostate cancer charity guy. And he reminds us all of how lucky we are. And I certainly feel lucky to be able to do all the stuff I do. You know, you may not be the world's greatest athlete like I'm not. You may just be starting out. But, you know, even if you get that 1 foot out the door for an ugly short run or a shaky ride or a wheezy swim, you know, you've been blessed and you've been given a great gift. So my friends, you know, look around you. I know these may be difficult times. I know you can get a little tired and feel like giving up. But you and I are very fortunate and should try to cultivate a constant celebration for the gifts we've been given. Music Day, to take you out, is a great little piece by the Dala Girls called Levi Blues, and you can find this on the PodSafe Music Network. Hope everyone has a great week, and I'll see you out there.
I always come back to you. See the lovers in the park. Try California, walk the beaches in the dark. I'll see the world in my Levi blues. But I'll always come back. I'll always come back to you.
We'll see the world in our Levi blues.
for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.